Some of you might be dreaming right now, or some of you might be dreaming a little later on in the service. It happened to us all. Young or old, dreams can be a delight. A dream can be realistic. A dream can be entertaining. A dream can be alerting. A dream can be magnificent. Oh, there was this young man, this teenager, who dreamt, had two dreams. And he came and he told his brother at separate times, his family, to his loved ones. And when he told them, they weren't happy about it. You heard the phrase, if dreams could kill. Well, folks, Joseph told his dreams and his brothers hated him and they wanted to kill him. And so, we're going to pick up towards the end of Joseph's life in Genesis chapter 49. If you look at verse number 19, it begins and it says this. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as is this day, to save much people alive. But God meant it unto good. Tonight, Lord willing, we'll look at these, want to point out three things. That one, hey, God is in charge. Number two, man has a devious plot. And number three, it's a change of course. God has a course for us. And so, if you please join me as I pray out loud, and if you pray in your heart, you know, I believe this message is very encouraging in Genesis. It's very encouraging if we will just listen to what God is saying. If we'll listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say, because it can change us, you know. And so if you please join me and pray for me that I would deliver the message as best as God will allow me to. And so join me as we pray. Heavenly Father God, we come before you. God, I'm a sinner. Lord, I don't deserve to be up here. But you saw it fit. You sent your son on this earth to die for our sins. Father, I am so thankful for the free gift of salvation. As a young boy going to Sunday school, hearing that message, Father, my heart being stirred, saying, I want you, Jesus. I want to have you. Believing on Jesus, as your word said, that they'll have eternal life. Father, we are so thankful to be here tonight. We meet here because Jesus died, was buried, and he rose again on the third day, on the first day of the week. And so we meet here, and I would ask, Father, that you would be with everyone in this room. Many people are facing difficult challenges. Father, may we rest upon you. May we trust you. It's hard. I felt the challenges. But may we keep on, as the word says, looking unto Jesus. Lord, I think of the family of the Bryants. Lord, I pray that you would be with them and that you would comfort them during this time, their time of loss. Father, and I pray as the services comes up, Lord, that your word would be preached and that people would come to know you. Lord, that they would be saved and that you would work in their hearts. Father, work in our hearts today. Help us in our time of need. Father, as your word said, we can do nothing without you. We need you. Father, I need you. Holy Spirit, speak to us today. Work in our hearts. Help us to draw close to you. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. In Genesis chapter number 49, as we just read in chapter 37, as we were looking at that in the scripture, we see that Israel had his sons, his 12 sons. And one of his eldest son, his eldest of Rebekah, who was Joseph, and he was favored. he dreamt the dream, and he talks about how basically that his brothers would be bowing down to him, his father and his mother. And so when his brothers hear that, they don't like it. And it comes towards the end of Genesis, chapter number 49. Basically, Israel, Jacob, he dies. He dies and his brothers get afraid. And his brothers start thinking, oh no, Joseph's going to come back and get us. He's going to seek revenge. And so they begin, to say basically nice thing. They send a messenger. But when Joseph hears it, he's like, come on, guys. You still don't know me? I mean, you've been around me and you think that I'm going to come and get you? And he begins going on in Genesis chapter 49. And he says unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? As I was reading this, and it popped in my mind that Joseph begins to say, hey, am I in the place of God? Joseph acknowledged, and he says, hey, God is over all. He's in charge, not I. And you guys are worried about this. And so Joseph realized his position. If you would go to Genesis chapter number 41, Genesis chapter 41, and we'll look at verse number 39. And I want you to see how Joseph acknowledges that, hey, his position. I want you to look at first what position he was placed in. And so in Genesis chapter number 41, verse 39, it begins with Pharaoh saying this, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much, I should go on to say that basically Pharaoh had a dream and he couldn't figure out what it meant. And it's kind of funny that it would be a dream, because this is what all started, was a dream. But he goes on and says that Pharaoh had a dream and he couldn't understand it. He seeked for someone to interpret it. Well, the man remembered about Joseph and how he helped him out. And so he tells Pharaoh, and we're going to catch up on right here in verse number 39. He goes on, he says this. As soon as Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, basically explained him his dreams, there is not none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in the vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And so if you go back with me in Genesis chapter number 41, verse number 40, says, thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be, what is it? Come on, we can do a little bit better. Let's read it out loud. Now, follow me. It says this. And Pharaoh said, he goes out, there's in 41, verse number 40, thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thee, thy word shall be all, unto thy word shall all my people be what?
Ruled.
Woo! Ruled. Did you hear that? Ruled. Pharaoh begins and he says, hey, Joseph, man, you're so wise. And what you say, guess what? You're going to be in charge of my house. You're going to take care of all the things. And guess what? All my people shall be ruled. Do you guys realize what position Joseph was in? Pharaoh just said that, hey, you're second in command. You're second in command. You're in charge. And for those of you that know the story of Genesis real well, you know the story of Joseph. Well, he was putting his brothers through some things. He was showing his brothers that, hey, they didn't recognize him at first. And if Joseph wanted, he could have placed them all in prison. But he didn't. Joseph's in charge. He is ruling. Second in command, Pharaoh basically says. And if you listen to Genesis chapter number 49, Joseph says this, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God?" He goes on and says, "Hey, it is not my place. I am not in that position." He says that, "Hey, God is." You know, a lot of us, when someone does us wrong, you know, would we reply like this? Well, we say, "You know what? Fear not. I'm not in the place of God." I mean, do we think like this? It's like, whoa, this is Joseph's view of God. And I want you to look at Genesis chapter 39. If you'll join me, if you turn back to Genesis chapter 39, and we're going to read verse 7 through 9. And this is before Joseph went into prison. And he was over at Potiphar's house. He was taking care of the things there. Things are going pretty well. Potiphar even realized it. Potiphar's like, "Man, I'm being blessed by this guy being here." So Potiphar's enjoying it. But Joseph ran into a little problem. You know, Potiphar's wife started giving him the eye. And she's like, And she finally is like, "Hey, I gotta have him." And Joseph is like, whoa, you're married. He goes on and says, I can't do this. And I want you to see why he says this. And so if you look at Genesis chapter 39 and verse number 7, "It came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wot not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Do you see what Joseph says? Do you realize his view? He goes on and says, "Hey, I can't do this." And he goes on, but he gets to the main point and says, "How can I sin against God?" He realizes, hey, God is here. He knows God is in charge. God sees that all that's going on. And I can't do this great wickedness. Now, let me ask you guys a question. Did Joseph go to Sunday school? No. He was cast into a pit by his brother and then sold, and he was going through some rough time. And here he goes on and says, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against my God?" Well, Joseph had conviction. He said, "I can't do this." And if we would think like that, and go say, "Hey, how can I do this sin against my God?" His view, his position of God, he realized that, hey, God is almighty. And he realized that, hey, God is holy. He says, "I can't do this. It's wrong." And you know what? I'm pretty sure Potiphar is a rich guy. I'm pretty sure his wife was in buck ugly. But that she was probably something to look at. Joseph says, I can't have you. You know, no, this is wrong. I'm not going to sin against my God. If you turn to Genesis chapter number 41, I wanted to show you something else. His view, how he viewed God. In verse 41, verse 15, at the beginning when Pharaoh is looking for an answer about his dreams. In verse 15, it says that Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it." Verse 16, "And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. He goes on and Joseph says, hey, it is not in me. This isn't about me. Pharaoh, God. God is the one that's going to give you the answer. Hey, don't come, Pharaoh, and lift me up. I am nobody. But it is God that's going to give you your answer of peace. And he points and he says, hey, God is the one. It's all about God, the way he viewed God. Joseph realized that, hey, God is the boss. God is in charge. You know, it was a young husband who was handpicked by, was being handpicked, and he was going to a psychiatrist about the problem. The doctor told him, you don't have to let your wife bully you. Go home and show her you're the boss. He's like, I'm the boss? You're the boss! I'm the boss. You're the boss! I'm the boss? Yes, you're the boss! Yeah, I'm the boss. I'm the boss. I can do this. I'm the boss. And he goes home. Young man gets home. Boom! Slams the door. Began to shook his fist in front of his wife's face. From now on, you're going to take orders from me. You're going to have my dinner ready. Supper is going to be right there. My clothes are going to be laid out on my bed. And he goes on and says, hey, I will be going out with the boys. You will be staying home. And you know what? Do you know who's going to be tying my tie? And she said, yes, the undertaker. You know, some way that people think of marriage, they think of three rings. The engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the suffering. And I am so thankful that my wife has never given me the suffering, and so she is an awesome wife. Marriage is truly a great thing, you know, in the will of God, you know. And the thing is this, who's the boss? Who's in charge? People like to go around and say, hey, I'm the boss, I'm in charge. And Joseph says, fear not, for am I in the place of God? He goes on to say, it's not my place. I'm not the boss. I'm not in charge. It is God. You know, I'm trying to read through the Bible through the year. And I try to do this every other year where I alternate. And so I try to read through the Bible in a year. And it's very difficult to, as you read through, you know, and it can get kind of long. And there's a lot of names. Trust me, when you start reading, there's a lot of names to go through. And it's hard, but right now I'm doing it chronologically, and the app gives me, and it's going through the book of Job. And the book of Job, it's so interesting and an awesome book. And to see the character of Job, I mean, wow. Most of us would be like, why, God? But Job was like, hey, I'm going to worship him. And his attitude, I mean, sometimes I get faced with challenges and be like, what? What's going on? But Job was like, I'm going to praise God. You know what? God is the giver. And the thing is this, you can see that there's a dialogue going between Satan and God. And God is saying, hey, you looked at my servant. And do you realize at this point that Satan comes and he wants to do wrong? He just wants to do mischief. He wants to mess up things. He's considering Job. And God says that, hey, you know what? I'm going to allow you to test him. But he says, but you can't touch his life. And that is amazing that Job, you know, goes through all these things. When you get a chance, read the book. It's a long book, the book of Job. And his friends come, friends. Who, for friends like that, who needs enemies? I mean, the way that they're talking to him, you know, challenging his character. But Job, he loses his loved ones. You know, he loses his health at one point, his wealth, and yet he's still praising God. And Satan comes, and Satan still needs to get approval. You know, and life, as life goes on, do you realize it does not surprise God that God's in heaven, and he's like, he's not all of a sudden like, whoops, oh no, how did that happen? It doesn't surprise him. God has a perfect will, and he wants it, you know, his will to be done, as Jesus says, as it's done in heaven, to be done on earth. But the issue we have here is man. Man is sinful. And Lord, we as human beings, we mess up things. And the thing is this, that Satan has to come for approval, but not only Satan. I was reading in the book of Mark earlier, in Mark chapter 5, and there was this man that was possessed. He was possessed by many devils. They called himself Legion. And as he's being possessed, Jesus is coming, and guess what? Legion recognized who he is. And he says, thou son of God. He sees him. And he begins, you know, and he's talking to him, and he even has to ask permission. Because his Legion knows, oh no, here comes Jesus. Oh, we've been having fun in this body. We've had fun tormenting him. But here comes Jesus. And he goes on and he says, Jesus, please, please, give us this request. Allow us to go into the swine. Jesus says, go ahead. So Legion goes into the swine. And I love this story. When I first read it, I was dying laughing. You know, I was like, what? Because Legion goes in into the swine, because guess what? You know those devils. You think they want to make things all pretty and nice and They want to cause havoc. And as soon as they're going wild, they're going down crazy, and they go straight off a cliff into the ocean, and they drown. And it goes to show you that, hey, God is in charge. He's in charge. And Joseph realized that. It is so important that we realize that, hey, God's in charge. And he goes on in Genesis chapter number 49, he says, fear not. For I am not in the place of God. Verse number 20, he says, but as for you, ye thought evil against me. The devious plot of man. You know, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, God says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, he basically says, is the lust of the flesh. In verse number 16, he says, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Jesus says, hey, that's all that's in the world. And man, you know, when we have our own will, we begin, you know, to ponder, to think. And if you think about Joseph's brother, they had a lot of pride. You know, they were envious of his brother. You know, that the fact that his dad was giving him so much affection. And they're saying, man, let's kill this guy. What are we waiting for? And because he dreamed the dream, and they say, hey, let's kill him. The Bible says this, you know, the heart of man, it talks in Proverbs 23, verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Jeremiah 17, verse number 9 says this, the heart is deceitful above all things, who can know it? Desperately wicked, who can know it? You know what? Our hearts, the Bible says that when sin enters into the world, you know, it corrupted us. And Jesus Christ says it's not what goes into a man, but it's what comes out of his heart. We have this sinful nature, our heart. And we begin to think, to plot. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a male or female, if you're black, Hispanic, white, Asian. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're rich or poor. We all have this nature. The Bible speaks about it in Romans chapter number, if you look in the book of Romans, I believe chapter number 5. If you read it and study, you know, in our nature, and we begin to think about it. When you're driving, I don't know if this happened to you, it's happened to me. You're driving, you're going on, you're cruising, and you know what, you're like, oh, you know, I got to get wherever you're going. Maybe you're going to work. Maybe you're going to see a friend. You're driving. And all of a sudden, someone comes out of two or three lanes and they come right in front of you, and all of a sudden they slow down, and then you have to get ready to press your brakes, and you're hoping and praying, hey, I don't hit this idiot. And then he makes the right turn. Oh! Or maybe it's someone that might have stolen something of yours. Maybe they broke into your car, they smashed your window, even though you left the door unlocked, they had to break it, and you're going through, and you're like, why? Just open the door. Check first, at least. And you're like, if I could get my hands on that person, ooh, the things I would do to them. You know what? Or when you're waiting in a long line, you've been waiting. You know what I'm talking about, right? Waiting. You're waiting. You're like, oh, it's taking so long. And all of a sudden, there's that guy. That guy that comes out of nowhere and all of a sudden gets in front of you. And you're like, yo, hell was here first. And you start, the wheel starts to turn, and you're like, you're thinking. Folks, this is our hearts. And it starts from somewhere. Think about Cain. Cain all of a sudden was looking at, you know, Abel, and he's seeing that, hey, God favored them all. And what happened to Cain? His brother, he killed his own brother, his own flesh. Our hearts. You know, man is always plotting something. They're thinking of something. Our hearts are wicked. And Joseph says this in verse number 49. And he goes on, and I've been saying 49, chapter number 50, excuse me. In chapter number 50, he goes on and he says this. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. Ye thought evil against me. And boy, did they ever. They go on, they say, you know what? They were with the taking care of the sheep, and all of a sudden, Israel tells, you know, Joseph, hey, go check up on your brother. He goes and he doesn't find him in one place, and he finds out they're in another location. So he goes to Dothan, and as he gets there, you know, his brother sees him from a distance. Oh, there goes that dreamer. His dream. Us bow down to him? Pfft, never. It's not going to happen. Let's kill him. And they're talking about it. And Reuben all of a sudden is like, I don't like how this conversation is going. I don't want to bow down to him either. Let's not kill him. So they end up throwing him into a pit. And they're seeing this group of Israelites passing by, and they say, hey, you know what? Why don't we sell him? We can get some good money for him. He's good for it. And so they sell his own brother. Talk about a family. And Joseph is saying, hey, you guys thought evil against me. Hey, you wanted to get rid of me. I'm not in the place of God. But listen how he finishes off. He says, but God meant it unto good. God meant it unto good. Folks, God, he's in charge. Was it God's will for Joseph to get placed into a pit to be sold? Do you think God wants that to happen to Joseph? For his brothers to hate him? No. But that's their hearts. But God says, you know what? Hey, I can still work. Hey, man's not going to stop my will. Hey, God had a plan, and he knew there was going to come a time that he was going to bring Joseph to Egypt. And he was going to have him save a lot of people's lives, and that his brothers would be worshiping. And his brothers tried to get in the way, and that didn't happen. You know, Satan trying to get in the way and try to discourage him. And many times, and Joseph is like, huh, still trusting in God. You know, through it and said, hey, you know what? Believing that God would get him through this. He had faith. And folks, the path can be difficult. I don't know what you're going through. You know, some people I've talked to, and you know, 2020 has been rough. You know, life is going to be difficult. You know, there's going to be times it's going to be painful. And you're going to feel that you're all alone. I'm sure that Joseph felt that. He's like, man, this is not easy. Finally, you know, my brothers sell me. But now I get up into a place where I'm doing well. And now she's accusing me of doing wrong. I get cast into prison. He's like, man, but you know what? I'm still going to have faith. And he was feeling all alone, but he knows that God is there. Man has deserted him. But it comes a point where he has been set free. And not only that, he is second in command. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Usually if you hear someone preach in Genesis, chapter number 50, these passages are very close. You know, God gives us this as he moves Paul in Romans chapter 8. It goes this in verse number 28. He says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Romans chapter 8 says, and we know all things. You know, let me ask you a question. Did Joseph have this passage? No. And yet in Genesis chapter number 50, he's saying that, you know what? You guys meant it unto, you guys wanted to do evil, but God meant it unto good. He meant it unto good. You're going to be faced with challenges. Hey, you're going to be, there's going to be people that are going to be against you. There are going to be people that are applauding and say, hey, you know what? I want his spot. Hey, I want her, for her to succeed. Well, there's going to be times that Satan's going to try to get in the way. There's going to be times that you're probably not going to feel well and you're being challenged with your health. Physically, mentally, you're going to feel drained. You're going to feel like, I can't go on. But I want you to remember this. Romans chapter 8 says that when we know all things work together for good. I don't know if you were able to hear the words, if I made it very clear about that Ron Hamilton was saying what he wrote. And he says, hey, rejoice in the Lord. As he goes on, he's saying that, hey, you know, through the shadows, I can see through the shadows. It looks dark. It looks like, hey, I'm not going to make it out here. But hey, God is going to show you the light. God is going to carry you through. The verse says, you know, oh, rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistakes. He doesn't. God doesn't say, whoops, whoops. Our God is perfect. He is holy and he's righteous. Our problem is that we begin to doubt him. We begin to have, you know, say, no, this situation is impossible. There's no way my God can get me through this. Some of the times we begin to think. We begin to get tempted. Yeah, we got to remember, hey, it's not the end. God is working on us. God is molding us. You know, just by curiosity, how many of you have been, you know, have read Job and have been encouraged by it? Show by a raise of hand. If Job never went through that, how would we be encouraged? How? If Joseph didn't know what he was going through, how can we be encouraged? Because it's difficult at times. You know, because God's given us the word. And we have to take the time to say, and read it. And when we read that, we're like, whoa. He went through this. And yet we can see the end result. You know, I'm not promising you that, hey, everything's going to be, you know, all good. That, hey, you've lost everything. And all of a sudden, you know, you're going to hit, you know, get $1 million out of nowhere. And that you're going to be rich. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, hey, God is going to be with you. Do you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And that Nebuchadnezzar was telling him, hey, when you hear the song, there's so much instruments that he mentioned. When you hear it, fall down and worship. And they're like, all the songs are going, and they're like, sorry, we can't worship. We only worship God. We're not going to bow down. And then Nebuchadnezzar, oh, surely you made a mistake. Hit it. And they're still standing. Nope. We serve God. And then what did he do? He threatened them, and then he cast them into the fiery furnace. Most of us, if we write this story, we're like, oh, you know, he let them go, or he shipped them off somewhere far. We'd have said, oh, the thing, everything's good. But no, they went into the furnace. And at that point, we get an awesome passage that was, as we read that, hey, when Nebuchadnezzar looked in, and he's like, hey, didn't we put three men in there? Oh, yes, King. Oh, yeah. Well, we definitely put three. We ain't disagreeing with him. He didn't throw us in there. Oh, yes, King. Yes, you put three. Bring my glasses. Why are there four people in there? And we are told that the Son of God is with them. He's going to be with you. He's going to be with you. You just have to trust. Have faith. Hey, you know what? Sorrow, it says, weeping comes in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Folks, morning is coming. It's coming. Hey, God meant it unto good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you for this time that we can look into your word. Holy Spirit, I'd ask that you speak to us, encourage us. Some of us may be going through some financial problems. Some of us may be going through some relationships that are struggling. Father, help us. Though some of us haven't been like Joseph, been sold by our siblings, we can understand, Lord. Father, you filled our hard times, our troubles. God, you care for us. Everything. God, when you see we're hurt, you're hurt. You want to wipe the tears from off our eyes. And you want to remind us that, Father, you're there. You love us and you care for us. Help us, Father, to look to you. We need to trust you. Father, there's so much things going on in this world and we're like, why is this going on? And Father, man is evil. Our hearts, and truly we've gotten far away from you. But Father, we need to come back. We need to do our best to spread the word that people would hear, that lives would be changed, that souls would accept Jesus as their Savior. Father, lives would be changed. And help us, Father. We need to draw near to you. We need you at this hour. Bless everyone here. Help the word to strengthen us, encourage us. And Father, to help us prepare us as we go into this week. May we look to you. Father, I love you. Forgive me when I fail you. Forgive me when I forget. Lord, may I trust you with all my heart. May we trust you, Father, and may we realize that we are not in your place, but Father, that you are in charge, and Lord, you have all things working together to good to them that love you. Father, that's my prayer, that this congregation would love you, that the visitors, that they would love you. Father, that we would love you, and we do. We'll be moved like Joseph was. who loved you and said, I cannot sin against you. I cannot take the credit. Father, I am not in your place, Lord. You are in charge. Help us, Father, to humble ourselves and to say, Father, we need you. And at this time, we're going to have our invitation. I'll be sitting down, and if anyone wants to come up and wants to, for me to pray, I'll be there. If you want to come up and at the altar, come. Share your heart with God. He loves you. And whatever challenge that you may face, don't forget God is with you. For those that love him. Father, we thank you for this time. Bless the invitation. Be with us for this rest of the week. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.